Welcome to A Matter of Music. I'm Dawn Wisner Johnson.
And I'm Beth Wisner Jansen.
And we're here to give you tools, education, and ideas to navigate through this crazy business of music. Thank you for joining us today. We are going to talk about metadata today, but before we do, Beth, please tell them about some of the things that we have available to them.
Well, we have this podcast, which you can hear on anywhere podcasts where you listen to podcasts. You can also watch it on YouTube, and we have some screenshots coming in this one. So if you're listening on the audio version, if you want to pop over to YouTube, if we say anything that piques your interest, we're on YouTube, amatterofmusic.com. And also we have classes. We are just at the end of our first class, which is A Matter of Sync. And we will be doing a new class in January, I believe, end of January, called Everything the Do-It-Yourself Artist Needs to Know, where we will cover everything from writing songs and getting the right documents with your co-writers, all the way up to getting published and what that means and all the metadata, that kind of stuff, a little bit of everything for the new music world that you're in. We also have consultations available, Dawn or myself or both of us, if you need us, to go over contracts. And also Dawn is starting to do some placements.
Yes.
So, you know, if you'd like to submit, we also have a thing where you can kind of see what that involves as far as Dawn's talents and expertise. It's called Lunch and Learn. And that is on Fridays.
It's we called Lunch and Listen.
Lunch and Listen. It used to be Lunch and Learn,
it
but
is.
Now we're listening. So we're listening to, we have about eight slots available every Friday at noon Pacific time. And you can find that also on our website, and you can go up there and you can send a song to Dawn and she will give you feedback on it as far as if it's syncable and maybe what you need to do to get it, you know, a little bit clearer for sync agents.
Right.
We do a lot of stuff.
Yes, we do. We were sync agents about a decade ago. We both went our separate ways and doing other things, and we're doing that again. And that's launching in January, so it's coming up soon. So I've been doing a lot of these lunch and listens to gather some music from some amazing artists that have been coming in. And you can even, if you're not interested in that, you can collaborate. There's producers who come and different people who are interested in collaborating with songwriters. So it's a great place to network as well. So please, and then we have a Facebook group as well where you can network with some people that have been hanging out with us at A Matter of Music. So today, as we mentioned, we're going to go over metadata. This is just one portion of getting everything in order for your music. I'm going to go over some specifics. We'll talk about specifics for sync ability, but just so you know, you should, in metadata, should always be accompanying your music. You should always have it no matter where you're sending it, because you don't want a file being downloaded from an email or Dropbox or whatever, and it not having all the pertinent information about you and how people can contact you.
Before you're even done with your song, if you're working with a producer or somebody like that, you should have some of the metadata attached to it. Now, what is metadata? That's probably a question that a lot of people have, because I had that when we started. What the heck is metadata? Metadata is data that goes with other data. So it's used across all kinds of different fields. But for music purposes, it is data that goes with the song or the composition, usually with the song, with the MP3 file or the WAV file, whatever you're sending. You want to have in there certain things, and Dawn's going to go over what those are, but you want to have those so that you make sure you get paid. If you're writing a song with a friend and a producer and you're putting it out there and you're not sure it's ever going to get picked up, sold, whatever, imagine if you had ended up having a big radio hit with that. Imagine if Billie Eilish and her brother hadn't added their metadata, you know what I mean, to the thing. And it got out there, and they didn't have a record company. Let's say it got out there with them, and they just pushed it. And all of a sudden, it's everywhere on Spotify, on iTunes, and it's getting placed on shows and stuff. What's going to happen if the metadata is not there, which is telling them who it belongs to and who to pay and who to contact for usage? A lot of money is going to get lost, and that's where that black box we always talk about, where there's billions of dollars that doesn't get paid to publishers and writers and record companies. A lot of it has to do with metadata. So
yes.
So here you go. At least you're looking. So
right. You would probably be amazed at how many people do not get paid all over across the board in the music industry.
Big artists, little artists.
All of them. Yeah. You've really got to keep track. I'm a publishing administrator. That's one of my jobs that I do. And that is one of my jobs to make sure that every song we have, everywhere it is, that everything's in order. And I will guarantee you, I'm constantly chasing things, even with the big artists. It's things get registered wrong. Somebody, another record company, there's so many co-writers, they don't put in the right information. And these kinds of things get lost with big artists and labels and small ones as well. So this is something you really need to hone in on and understand from the get-go. So let's start. I'm going to talk about email at the end, etiquettes and different things. I'm going to share my screen right now. We use Disco in the industry, and let me find it. Hold on a second. There it is. Disco, and when I say we, Disco is a platform that is used by music supervisors even more and more these days. And so this is one that most people are using if they're going to go into sync. It's also very good for, just organizing your music. But it's easy to send files. You just have a link and you don't have to attach anything. By the way, never attach anything to an email anymore. It's links now. Not even an MP3. I don't care how small the thing is. Do not attach it. But Disco is used by a lot of people, and it's a great way to, edit your tracks. I have already open. I have a playlist over there. There's 8 tracks over there. Obviously, say you have a whole album, you can edit all of your tracks together and then just go in and change the title for each one. If you have a whole album you're dragging in or whatever, it's very easy to do. But what we're going to do today is go over how these fields and the different metadata that you're going to add in. So the first one is just the metadata here. That's what it's labeled. And we have track artwork. So obviously you just drag that in and it's going to go in there. Aside from that, we have title. Let's talk about song names for metadata. There are different ways that you're going to do this, depending on if it's a cover, if it's a public domain song, or if it is your original song. Let's go with your original song. We would put the title of your song there. I always put in parentheses the artist name. Now, they don't all say that you have to do this, but I like to have that there. What are you going to say, Beth?
With the title, even though you're going to put the artist's
name. I do. That's a preference for me, and I'll tell you why. If I get a lot of music, I have to go look who it is, and I'm getting a lot of music these days. So if the title name said, Drag Me Down by Dawn Wisner Johnson, I would be very happy that it said that there. So you don't actually have to do that. Now, if you're a songwriter and there's another artist with you, put featured artist and put the artist, list the artist in there as well. That is in the song name. As you will see, the next one is artist. There is a specific place that you can put that. So I would put it in both places. Let me go back one more time to public domain. If you have a public domain song, please put at the front of the title PD. For public domain, they are going to know, anybody in the industry is going to know what that means, and then put the title of the song.
And you put the PD first so they can search for all public domain songs.
Yes, it's very good to do that. For a cover song, say it's a Beatles cover song, Hey Jude, in parentheses, the Beatles, after your parentheses, put cover, C-O-V-E-R. So that would be how the title for a cover song would go. After that, you're going to be putting in other information. We are not going to go into how that works today. If you have specific questions about that, you can find those answers. So we're going on as if we're putting in an original song. The album, you do not have to put the album. As I just said, if you have released an album, put your album title there. Composer, It says mixed. Why is this? Oh, it's saying because that because we're editing.
You're in the middle of multiple things. Yeah.
In this field, you're just going to list them and put a comma after each one. If there are three writers, Chris Ryan is the first one. In this field, I am going to put Chris Ryan, BMI in parentheses, 30%, and then comma. Then I'm going to put Don Wisner Johnson, BMI, 30%, 33.33, let's say. Another co-writer we work with is Chris Duke. We're going to put Chris Duke, if he's ASCAP, and then the 33.3%. I'm going to list all of that in this composer field. You will see later, there's other places we're also going to put this, but I want you to put it there as well. It doesn't matter if you're doing redundant information, especially for composers, because that is very important information. Okay, grouping, we're not going to do that. Genre, this is important if you know it. If you don't, no big deal. I'm going to put singer-songwriter in there. This is the type of album that we're doing right now. BPM. Pretend this is just one track here. So the BPM is very important. BPM is actually very important for me. If a music supervisor tells me they need a song, I go listen to it. I check the BPM. And BPM many times
is BPM is beats per minute.
Thank you, Beth.
And there are apps you can use to help you get this.
There's free apps online that you can just go tap to the song and you'll get it. I use this because sometimes the feel of the song is very important and I want to get close to that BPM. It does not have to be exact, but that's why I use it a lot. Because I want to get close enough, if possible. The ISRC code is the recording code that you will get if and when you put this recording up on any digital platform these days, Spotify. You can get your own ISRC codes. It costs $95 to register, and then you have your own in there. But any place you're going to upload your music through DistroKid, wherever, they're going to give you an ISRC code. May not have this at the beginning. It's not completely important. If you are going to be placing music, I would say that you should get your music up anyway. So you will have this by the time you're working with me, most likely. So ISRC codes are very important. There is also an ISWC code while we're here. This follows
the writer
composition. Beth, do you want to explain that at all?
So there's two, these are international standards, ISRC, International Standard Recording. I don't know what the C stands for. And then there's the ISWC. So this one is going to follow the R stands for recording. And so there's a company. It's a, you know, it's not a company. It's an organization you can go to register, like Don said, to get this if you want. But you will, they do dole them out at places that you're going to put your music up. The ISWC is for the composition, not the recording. So the writers and publishers and that kind of thing. So, you know, because sometimes a song, a composition will get re-recorded a bunch of times. So a composition will have one ISWC.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it gets recorded 15 times, it will have 15 different ISRCs. So,
yes.
Does that make sense?
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. ISWCs, I'm still doing the homework on how to find, how to get those as an independent artist. I have seen that ASCAP and BMI have said they're doing it, but I don't know yet if they are. So jury is still out on that. I'll let you know more on that later. Year is right here, and I would just put the year that you're putting this up. I don't think you need to get technical about, I wrote this in 2016, I didn't record it for 3 years, you know, all those kinds of things. Just put the year you're releasing it, or you did release it. If you released it a year ago, don't confuse everybody by saying it's now, because they might think it's a new version.
Because again, this is for the recording, not when it was written.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
For the recording, so when it's released.
Right. The order is just, if it's an album, it's track number 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's not important right now. Now the comments, before I go to comments, I'm going to jump over here to writers because I want to be sure what's here. Yes, it is. Okay. And then we'll go back to the metadata page at the bottom. I want to show you, I told you there's another place you can put writers in. This is only in Disco, but I think some of the other programs may have this as well. Here's your writer. I have different ones. And I would pick one of those. I would put the split right here, 33.3. Select the publisher. Now, if you have a publisher, go ahead and put your publishing name in. If you don't, the splits are a little bit different, and this depends on who you are with. If you're with ASCAP or BMI, but I'm not going to get into that right now. It's good to have a publishing name for your track. If you are a BMI writer, here's a little tip. You don't have to have one. They will pay you your publishing money based on whatever you get placed as a writer.
If you register your song with BMI as a songwriter and do not have a publisher, they will assume that you are the publisher under your name.
Yes. This PRO number we call an IPI. Let me see if they're going to tell you this. They're saying general work number. So in this place, I would put IPI number 2850689. I'm seeing if it'll let me do a bunch. That's just a fake one. Your IPI number is also an international standard now. It comes from your ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC, or SOCAN, or wherever you are listed. As a writer, you will find that. You simply go to your writer's information and it will follow your name. It'll be right there. That is your IPI number. That is important in international world these days. You have to put that in. So for metadata for sync, it's definitely something that needs to be there. Notice I didn't tell you to put it in the composer field because it's a lot of information that you don't need to add, but here's where you will add it. As you save this, it's going to give you an option to add another writer. That's how you do this for each track. So that's just the writer tab. I'm going back to this tab because down in the comments is where, one more thing, look at here. Here's another comment tab. This comment is usually within Disco. It's your area, but you can do it here, but it's redundant, just so you know. This is
so
a place.
The main, I'm assuming the metadata comments is public to whoever looks at it, and this comment can be your private little notes to yourself.
Exactly. If you have additional comments you need to add, you can say client will be able to see this here. So back to the metadata. And actually, I just wanted to say, I don't see lyrics here. And I'm not sure why. I thought they had a lyric tab. So what I would do right now, because I don't see the lyric tab, is I would add my lyrics here and say clients will be able to see this comment. But for right now, I'm going back to this comment field in Disco. And I want to tell you specifically, because I use this a lot, put everything you can here for contact information. So I'm going to go over that. Let me get to it. And if your song is a one-stop, let me explain that really quick. For in music sync world, one-stop is important. It means whoever is giving you this track and you are seeing this information from me, this is one-stop. I can clear the master recording and all the composition, regardless if there's three songwriters. We have already cleared all of this music and it is one-stop. In other words, I'm the only person you need to clear this through and we're good to go. I can sign all the contracts. I can get them over to you within a few hours. We're good to go. Music supervisors really like this. They like it from you as an artist as well. So you need to have all of your documents, Beth, the split sheets signed split by sheet. All the writers.
Musician release.
Musician releases, those kinds of things. If you have these and you have cleared this with those people, you are now a one-stop person and you have told them, I'm going to pitch this song. I'm going to do it one stop where I don't have to ask you if it's okay if we place this music. You can tell them later and work on paying them after, you know, the thing is placed. So in this comments field is going to be one of those places. I am one stop. So I'm one stop. I'm Dawn Wisner Johnson. this is me shop, not as a sync agent, but I'm shopping this song out that is written by Chris Ryan, Don, and Chris Duke. I'm going to put my email here. I'm going to put my phone. I'm going to put my website. If I can type it right. Okay.
Third time's charm.
Right. I'm going to put master controlled by Don Wisner Johnson and master controlled 100%. You want to explain why I'm putting that, Beth?
So if somebody wants to use a song for sync, for a TV show, for a film, for a commercial, it is going to be, there's going to be two sides of that. There's going to be the composition side, the people that wrote it, and there's going to be the recorded version side. So there's the publisher and the writers, that's one side, and then there's whoever owns the master recording. Since we talked about, you know, same song can be recorded a bunch of times and you can do covers, the master recording is going to be possibly owned by somebody who didn't write the song. So what Dawn is saying here is that not only is she with the one-stop, she's a one-stop, here's all of her information. She's saying, I wrote this song, I'm the co-writer, but I also own the master recording and I have permission to make a deal with you.
Right. Yep, that's very important as well. Beth, can all three writers have 100% controlled master?
No. You got to pick one.
You got to pick one. However,
pick the one that's going to do the work. Don't give that it is to very, that doesn't
that is
finish.
Very control, that is very true. However, say Chris Ryan came to me and he had a connection with a music soup. He met one somewhere and he said, hey, I'm going to pitch this to this guy because I met him. I'm going to do this. Then I just say to him, we want to sign a little thing.
I would do it in an email thread at least, at minimum.
In an email form, right.
At minimum, so it's back
and
forth.
I'm telling him, hey, right. I'm telling him for this use, you own the master 100%. Make sure you tell them that. So, you know, so the writers can make deals like this and do this.
It doesn't mean that Dawn's the only one that's going to get money off of this.
Nope.
That depends on how you guys have set that up. If it's split by a third, the master, or if maybe one person paid more money for it or did it at their home studio and they got 50% of the master and the other two are going to split 25-25. You've decided before you get to this point.
I want to make that even more clear what Beth just said, because it's so hard to understand. But you have your composition that is 33% for each writer. We all wrote it together. We are going to get paid for that through our performing rights societies. But the master, we might have had one of the guys, Chris Duke is our mixer and engineer. He may get 40% because he spent more time on this, and we all agree. For the master, when we get paid, you get 40, the rest of us get 30 each. So that is what Beth is talking about. There are two different ways for you to get paid for this. And when we get a sync license, it's going to say that. If the total sync license is $1,000, $500 is for the composition, $500 is for the master. So you as a songwriter, I'm sorry if that's confusing. Maybe we'll give you a graphic at some point for that, but that's how that goes. Okay.
Right. What I want to make sure and everybody understands is that master control doesn't mean that Dawn owns it all.
Nope.
The reason you want one person to control it is so that if these sync agents are working with somebody and it's one stop, they don't have to worry about who else might have some say in this. You guys all need, whoever your songwriters are, whoever is together with that, owning that master, you guys need to decide who that is. In advance, right. If you're going to be shopping it, especially.
Right. So as I just said right now, I'm sorry that I couldn't find the lyric. I thought there was a lyric tab in Disco, but I don't see it. Maybe it's in the single one. Anyway, for now, I made the decision. I'm going to put the lyrics here. One stop lyrics. And then under here, this is what I always do. Or you can put it at the end too. I like it to be here. BMI 33.33%. Chris Ryan. Here's another place where I just always put this. Why not? And 33, I'll go on. And then I go down and paste in the lyrics right there. Just tells everybody once again, you can even, it says one stop lyrics. That's not the thing. But even after this, you can tell them again, one stop clearance. Tells the person who's writing the lyrics, hey, these guys have it together. Okay. They won't stop saying that.
Won't stop one stop.
I do not have a pro account. Okay, I don't have a pro account. I just have the basic account. Here's where you enter tags. And by the way, in your disco settings, you can put your own tags, whatever tags you usually use or ones that you want to use. In disco, I don't know why it's not going here.
You need it's to add not tags, working. Right?
It does already.
That's to add to your custom list. You can do customized tags.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I don't know why it's not working, but in disco, that's not important. I'm going to talk about tags a little bit here. So I think I'm going to stop my share and talk about keywords and descriptions and things like that. Since I pretty much went through all of the other basic information, let me make sure. Yeah, we did. I'm going to stop my share and come back to you. Hi. So those are some of the basic things, even as an artist, that you're going to have in your all of your music, whether you're syncing it or not. Let's talk about when you're going to be actually syncing it, sending it to me as a sync agent. I don't want 50 keywords. I don't want even 20 keywords, by the way. I want you for each track to really hone in on what this song is about. Say, I already know it's a singer-songwriter. Is this one about love, or is it general? Can't think of how I would say that. But in singer-songwriter music, as you know, there's a lot of love songs. Sometimes I'm searching for a singer-songwriter that is not about love at all. The commercial, whoever they are, they're saying, we don't want a love song. We want something about that's uplifting, about people getting together and those kinds of things. So when you're tagging your songs, think about those kinds of things. Obviously, if it's a love song, put romantic. If it's gentle, if it's in 3/4, I may want to know this. Because those work well for dance scenes, those kinds of things. So really hone in on your keywords and think about the ones that would be most important. Now for yourself, in your disco, you can have your own places where you put as many as you want, but just be careful not to overdo that. You can also have a description. You can, in the description, you might want to give them the, if it's an emotional song, you might have said emotional in keywords, but tell them what emotions this evokes. Yes, in the description. So you already said it was emotional. So what would some of those words be, Beth? If it's sad, sadder about losing your dog, you can get a little more specific there. Because
a little bit more detailed.
Pardon?
A little bit more detailed.
A little bit more detail in the description. I don't mind that, but yet. Don't give me 20 keywords and then, you know, three paragraphs in the description. Give one paragraph and a few keywords that are very pertinent to it. So looking at my list to see if that was the last one. So let me tell you about metadata. We talked about the first part we talked about is the ownership metadata. That is the one you're always going to use for artists. Anybody who has a song, you always have that. Descriptive metadata is some of the things I just now talked about. Recommendation metadata is another type. This would be similar to, and I want you to know that you need to be very careful with this. Don't, if your songs are so similar to an artist
that
they almost sound like it and your friends say, my gosh, you really sound like John Mayer. Please don't put John Mayer in your similar because you don't want to get yourself in trouble. I know you're not ripping him off. Please don't do that either. But But you can be similar to a genre of people and put a list of people. If it's Jack Johnson, John Mayer, you know, there's a few of them. If your music isn't too close, that's always helpful as well. That's called
that's where you want to have it for your overall style, but not a specific song.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also based on how the recording sounds or the vibe of, you know, what's some very vibey musicians. I can't say Lady Gaga anymore because she's kind of all over the place. She has a lot of different styles. Iron and Wine, Bon Iver. Who?
Cool in the Gang.
Cool in the Gang has a definite, yes. You always know what you're getting with Cool in the Gang. So yeah, those are some, you know, things that you could put in similar to. You just be careful with that field. And, you know, you can even do some mood things there. So say it is Cool in the Gang. You can say late 70s disco, you know, those kinds of things. Describe the genre instead of actually naming the group.
Again.
So obviously metadata is very crucial. And it's getting more crucial. Beth knows why. It's digital. It's every place your music is
digital. And once you put it out digital, it's gone. You can't get it back. You never can go grab that again. So you need to have this. Now, my question, Dawn, is how do you just talked about putting it up on Disco or if you're going to do iTunes, but is there a way to attach it to an audio file?
That metadata?
Mm-hmm.
Disco does that for you. And they
okay, so if I have recorded a song and I want to get it to somebody, I want to show a record label, I want to show a sync agent, something like Disco is where I'm going to put that. I'm not never going to email the song to somebody. I'm going to put it up on a platform and attach all my metadata to it. So when they go to listen to it, if they download it, that metadata will follow?
Yes, it does. The beautiful thing about Disco, and I think this is one reason the Music Soups like it, is somebody sends you a link, it pops open in your Disco account, and you can drag that to a folder. You don't even have to download it. It's there. So
in Disco.
It isn't if you both have the Disco account.
But so, can you drag it outside of Disco onto a folder on your computer?
I believe you can, yes.
And the metadata will follow.
That's a download, though. And the metadata will follow. Yes, it will. Now, iTunes was the old school way that we did this. Yeah. And so that is still a way that some people do it. If you're used to using iTunes, I'm talking about on a Mac. I'm not sure about PC, but you right click, I think, and get the info. And that will stay there with that track when you send it over to somebody. But then if you're building a catalog and you want to get even more extreme, there are metadata tagging programs. And some of them don't cost very much and you can get those as well. But, you know.
Because one thing is you should have all of this information for yourself as well. Well, I would suggest also keeping this on an Excel sheet or a number sheet, something like that. Keep all of this, all of your songs, so you have all of this information for yourself. Do it while you're doing the metadata or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. One of our producers, I won't mention his name unless he wants me to give him kudos, but he told me he keeps an Excel document with every song he releases. He puts in the title and all the metadata in the Excel so that anytime he's searching for something and he can't remember what he did or say he has a new song that's he has another song that's similar to one and he wants to say, hey, it's similar to that song. I want to go see what metadata I put in. Obviously, you could do this in your program, but if you have an Excel sheet, it's a lot easier to go find that. It's just right there. You can cut and paste it and put it right over into your Disco account in the field. So,
and you also don't want to just trust somebody else for all of your stuff.
Right.
To keep all your stuff. I remember my niece had all of her photos on some photo site and missed an email and they got rid of all her emails from her childhood and she was pissed. So don't ever trust anybody to keep all your stuff for you. Make sure you have it on a hard drive.
Just talking about even programs like Disco or wherever.
Yeah, anywhere, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right, right.
Make sure you have it yourself.
So, yeah, I think I've gone through most of the information for metadata. I want to talk a little bit about emails. I'm talking specifically once again about music supervisors, but this is a good thing to follow with email etiquette and in subjects and different things. So let me explain what I want to tell you about this. In your subject, if you're emailing a music supervisor, these are some of the fields, these are some of the things that you want to have in your subject field. Your name or your artist name. If it's me and I'm sending something about an artist, say it's Chris Ryan, I'm going to put in Chris Ryan's name. Chris Ryan, singer-songwriter, one stop, new music available. Pretty much that's it. Or I might put new music for sync. And then, now, do this all of the time when you're emailing anyone in the industry. I was talking in one of our classes about those email threads that go on and on and on. And sometimes I'm looking for something that somebody said and it's like, oh, I wish when they sent me a link, they would have said, gone off thread and say, hey, here's a link to what I was talking about. It gets so crazy. So I'm not
talking. Don't let an email thread go off topic and keep going, because right. Then you're never going to be able to find it in your emails. It gets
right. So and if you're doing this with a music supervisor or with a sync agent like me, and I say to you, hey, that sounds like a great song, I'd love to hear that. Don't send me a link in that thread. Send me a separate link and put exactly what I just said, because I want to grab that, put it in a folder. I'm going to grab that email, put it in a folder and save it so that I know here's the one. Now, if I asked you, you can put the song title in the subject as well. If we already talked about it, definitely put the song title if you talked about it with somebody. Keep your subject as short as you can. You know, figure out how to make things shorter, but those are very important things, especially for people who are very busy with their emails. So, and in your email, keep it short and sweet. If you're sending them something, don't go explaining again everything that you explained prior. This is a great song for blah, blah, blah. This is how I wrote it with so-and-so. I just love this vocal. It's so good. You should hear there's even, hey,
I've already stopped reading. If I'm a syncing, I'm like, I'm right. Done. I'm out.
Don't forget that there's a build at the end. Don't worry about this. You can put two sentences that might explain something very quickly, but don't go overboard with that as well. Don't forget your link. This is crazy. I do it all the time.
We all do it.
I'm just reminding everybody.
Put the link in there first when you do the thing.
Copy and put that in. Restate that it's 100% clearance and it's one stop. One stop, one stop. Don't forget to say that. In your signature, please have all your information. Anything you can think to put there that person is going to want to find. If I'm syncing for an artist, I may put the artist name down there. Don Wisner Johnson, representative for Chris Ryan. And then right under that, I may put his website. Just so they know if they want to place the song, they might go, wonder what this artist has been up to. I'm going to go see. So your signature is always very important when you're talking to people. Your name, your email, your website as well, so they can get to you right away.
And your phone.
So, yeah. Just wanted to talk a little bit about email etiquette because it's so important in our business. And by the way, try to say something nice to the person up front and at the end if you can think of it, because everybody likes to think they're almost your best friend. So think about that as well.
I got so much to say about that.
The only people I know that don't do this are more lawyer type people. But anybody else?
I have a hard time with being really nice and fluffy in emails. I'm like, whatever, here, it's what you wanted. Go. It's not good.
She should have been
a
lawyer.
I have a hard time even saying hello to so and so. Hi. You know your name. Come on.
I know.
It's bad. It's not
people
good.
People want to know. You're interested in talking to them. So I don't know what this is about, but it just is this way. Be nice. And
be nice. Don't be like
Beth
me.
Should
be
have
nice.
Been a lawyer. So most of the lawyers I know, they're not very nice. I mean, that's not good to say.
I they're just want to get down to business.
They do. That's they want to get down to business. And they are kind people. And several of them I know have a crazy sense of humor. So I do enjoy that. They might make fun of us saying, how are you doing today? And they're like, why do you care or whatever. So
I find it funny that it's appropriate now in an email to say hi. I'm like, when did that become okay? I'm that old that I'm like, you don't say hi to somebody you've never met. You say hello. You're saying, I hope you're having a dear, whatever, you know. I'm that old. Yeah. So that's why I had a problem.
I think we have covered everything today. We were a little shorter today, but we wanted to be, because I want this to be something you can listen to.
Not too much.
Figure out what you're doing and go forward. So thank you for joining us. Don't forget,
go check out our website, please, because we have so much stuff going on. We don't want to bore you up front, and I kind of went a little long today, but we want to get in touch with you guys. So, and we want you to become part of this little community we're starting, and Dawn is looking for new music. So go check out our website, Lunch and Listen,
and
on Friday.
By the way, one more thing about metadata. If you take our All Things Sync class, which is not the next one, but it would be following that, or maybe even simultaneously, we'll see. We do go into this in detail. We go over it for you. We let you know, hey, this looks great. Maybe you should fix it this way. We really help you out with your music. I listen to quite a few of your songs, and we go over that together. So if you're interested in that, that's going to be taking place next year. So I just wanted to say metadata is something we cover there too. So yes, Lunch and Listen coming up every week. So sign up, and thank you so much for joining us. Have a great week.